listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom, and you are on the Save the Marriage podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you save your relationship, and we're doing that by bringing in not just my knowledge base, but also the knowledge base of my team. Over the past few weeks, I've allowed you to meet some of my fine people on my team that I get to call colleague and people who help me in the process of working with people as they work to save their marriage. Today, we're talking with Barbara Walton, who is one of my coaches who's been with me since the beginning of me realizing that I needed to have help in providing help around the world. And Barbara comes in talking about her own place of finding what happens when a relationship ends in her own life. But she talks about the fact that we have to navigate disappointment in our own lives. In fact, we have to make sure that we're not taking everything personally. She has some great advice on how not to take things personally and allow it to still be the other person's, and at the same time, to be willing to slow down and take in the learning, to figure out that life may be trying to teach you something. So let's now turn over as I interview Barbara Walton, and she talks about her wealth of knowledge of how to help you with your relationship. Barbara, thank you so much for being here. You were part of my coaching team from the very beginning, so I'm excited to have this chance to talk with you and for you to be able to share some about your role as a coach and also some of your wisdom. So thank you so much for being here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you. It's been good to be along this journey with you, and of course, I'll always be grateful for the opportunity to provide the support that we do to our clients.
Well, I'm grateful for your presence in that. And also, there are many people, not just my clients, but many people that have experienced your coaching and benefited. So just because of that, I would love to know how you kind of got to here. How did you get into coaching? How did you become a coach? What's your training and background in that?
All right. Well, I am a psychologist by training. I was completing my doctorate in psychology when coaching found me. And I always say that I trust the process and the timing. I trust that I was becoming a psychologist before I became a coach. I trust that there was some way that those two needed to happen in that order. But coming to coaching was much more like coming home. And I was often challenged in my psychology training because it felt like we were trying to make interventions too late in the process. So coaching has at least the opportunity to begin creating some change before there is psychology or something that's diagnosable, or at least it offers that opportunity. And I've always been much more at home in the coaching community, but I did complete my doctorate and spend quite a bit of time delivering therapy and diagnostic services to the community before I moved over to coaching altogether. And it really happened that I moved over to coaching altogether following a divorce, my own divorce, my own loss of a marriage, loss of a dream, and the idea that I needed to recalibrate so many things about life in order for it to be a true reflection of what was possible and what I wanted it to be. I stepped away from therapy and immersed myself into the world of coaching. I did mostly organizational coaching within businesses, but I found that the part that I liked the best was the relationship component. I loved getting the feedback from people that the coaching that we were doing was making a difference for them in their marriage, making a difference for them in their parenting, their partnering, all of that, as well as it was, making a difference for them in their career, their professional life. But I got the deepest reward from the relationship coaching, or the way that it affected the relationships that my clients were prioritizing in their lives. So that's when I kind of knew that relationship coaching was more of a passion for me. And I was coming back from, losing my own marriage, losing that dream of the marriage and the family being intact forever, that So I had a desire also to help people who were navigating that, because I did not have a coach when I was going through that. I didn't have my own coach, and I didn't have anyone helping me take the best action, the best possible action. I don't believe that that's why I got divorced, but I do believe that I could have created a different experience or a different outcome. If I had had a coach during the process, I might have been able to stay more loving longer, or I might have been able to reach forgiveness and understanding sooner, or something along those lines. I might not have added my own drama to the drama that my partner was going through.
Yeah, there's always that added piece, isn't there?
And I believe that that would have been by itself, that would have been hugely beneficial to both myself, my ex-husband, and my family, for me to have, you know, brought less drama to the table during a difficult time. And I believe coaching could have done that. So that's really how I came to coaching, through psychology, through a desire to help others, and a passion for families, and especially children and grandchildren, having intact families where possible. And I do believe it is possible more often than it is achieved. And I do believe that there are times when it's not possible as well.
Yeah. And it's interesting, when I ask this question to pretty much any coach, I realize that they have most of their lives already been a coach. They just, you know, it took some time to discover that that was actually a doable thing. And the second thing is that usually where they end up as a coach is part of coming through their own learning process and struggle sometimes, as you did through your own divorce, and figuring out what, you know, that's something, there's something there. There's something in that relationship piece that you wanted to go deeper. I don't know if you and I have compared notes about this, but, you know, I was at the very tail end of my dissertation when I was sitting at a desk and I read an article on coaching. So here I am, all this work to get to, you know, the tail end like you. And I turned to my wife and I said, this is what I do. I remember the look when she said, what have you been doing? You know, all this preparation. And what you realize is, as you've already talked about, is that it all dovetails together. It all fits together and is part of the person of that coach. So you bring in a lot of wealth of knowledge. You bring in both a psychological perspective, and when you talk about that organizational perspective, a systems perspective that sometimes is missing from coaching, that helps you understand that relationship dance.
No doubt. Exactly. It's exactly true. And there is, it is truly a challenge to not say that it was wasted time, or it was, you know, a mistake to go in those directions that I went in. I think they all helped me find the right place, the right way to support others, to support people. So none of it was wasted time in my mind, not even the marriage or the difficulty of the divorce. That was all a very necessary part. And the humbling part of it is where I actually developed such an increased awareness of compassion and, you know, true unconditional love, things that I thought I understood them before, but I did not understand them. Often, like, you think you understand what it will be like to be a parent, but you really do not understand until you actually have a child. Just because you've seen someone else parent doesn't mean you know how to parent, or you've seen someone else go through a divorce doesn't mean you know what it means to go through a divorce. It is life altering in so many ways. Yeah. It's a true shift. And that depth of compassion, that depth of understanding and forgiveness that I achieved during that time in my life really made me a better person. And for that, I'm also very grateful to my ex-husband, you know, because that was a gift to receive that, a gift for me, a gift for him, and a gift for our children as well.
You know, there's that Thomas Leonard, one of the forefathers of coaching, and talks about the present perfect, and that everything that has happened leads up to right where we are. And you can either see that as a, I don't want this, or as a, that's what made me this, and that's what gave me these tools, or at least that's what put me on the search for those tools. And all of that leads us to the moment in time, which kind of makes me think about, you know, what you see as your role as a coach, as you're stepping in, because you have been in lots of different coaching realms, the corporate world, individual coaching, relationship coaching. So how do you see your role as a coach, especially around relationships?
Mm-hmm. Well, oftentimes I can normalize what people are going through because of having navigated some of it. I can let them know what to expect. I can let them know, you know, whether they're at the beginning or near the end. Often I can do some, give some insight in that way. I think of it as kind of a being able to shine a flashlight so they can see the pathway just a little bit more clearly. Mm. And that they can, you know, have the courage to walk the next step of the path of the journey, that they can realize that they don't have to resist it. So I really think that I help them, my clients, by partnering with them to build up the willingness and the readiness to take the necessary next steps, wherever that takes them, mm-hmm. of becoming themselves and the better version of themselves that life is inviting them into, that the circumstances are inviting them into. So there's that, the normalization of it, the understanding of it, and there's never really a deep understanding. I like to say that we'll never really understand the other person or the other person's motivation, but we can respect their journey. We can respect their need to make their choices, even though their choices are very different than what we would hope that they make often. But there is an understanding that you can understand that the other person has to walk their own journey. They can't walk the journey that you want them to walk. They can't walk a journey that is your journey. They have to walk their own journey. And so that makes a big difference. So shining a light, normalizing. And also, I think I challenge people to take the high road, to be the one who chooses love in a moment when, or in a year or a time frame, whatever the year is, whether it's a moment or a year, a time frame when they would be fully justified in choosing something other than love.
Hmm. Yeah. And so many times people think that, they're so angry that there can't be love. And yet, as you're saying, that's a choice to make, that sometimes you need somebody to point the light so you can see that path to love instead of to anger, to frustration, to revenge, to resentment.
Right. There's a lot of cultivating emotional intelligence that happens within coaching. And I don't think that we're born with, our full capacity for emotional intelligence in play. We have to cultivate that. We have to develop that. There's a developmental process to navigating our own emotions, and the hard parts of life actually mature us around our emotions for sure.
And we grow through the challenges. And I would guess that little cultivating emotional intelligence is for you and me a lifetime task. So we certainly don't come to a crisis with it. And coaching can help the process of just discovering that, which it kind of raises a question for me. I'm just kind of curious on what your favorite part of being a coach is.
My favorite part would have to be, seeing those light bulb moments when someone really does get it and shift and do a quantum, quantum leap in their own development, and they step into a version of themselves that they didn't even know that they were capable of. That's my favorite part. And sometimes there's gratitude, they say thank you, and sometimes they aren't fully aware of it and they don't even know that it came from coaching. So it's not really that aspect of it, but it's being able to see them grow and evolve. And sometimes it happens quickly and sometimes it happens over time. But that's what thrills me, when people are more authentically themselves and they master being themselves. I guess that's the mastery part that they come to, and it comes more natural, and it feels more authentic, and they start showing up in a bigger way, and they're confident in it. They're, it's almost like they have their sea legs. They have the ability to stand with some pride or confidence, maybe more confidence than pride, but trust in themselves and the brilliance that they bring to the experience and the relationships that they're in. That's what I love.
You just talked about something that I think a lot of people on the outside, it's got a big shift to see. You said quantum leap. and the shift that caused that light bulb moment that causes a quantum leap. And I think a lot of times we think of growth as being incremental, you know, an inch here, inch there, inch here, inch there. But with coaching, we often see as coaches where somebody's whole perspective turns around and they make that leap, not just a small piece, but their whole paradigm shifts, their whole perspective turns around. And it's not incremental. It really is a huge leap in understanding that can come from that process. And I think that's what you're talking about, that light bulb moment, that it really is not just an inch. It could be a mile.
Almost a whole lifetime sometimes feels like. Yeah. I like to think of it as remembering. I think we forget things or we don't realize that we already know them, but it's almost like putting the pieces back together. And that's when the light bulb moments happen. That's when the knowing comes to the individual and they're able to step into a bigger, better version of themselves in spite of the circumstances that are challenging them and inviting them to be something small or stuck or, you know, unhealthy.
So you love seeing that quantum leap. So, which makes me wonder what makes an ideal client for you in working towards that big change?
You know, I love working with people who are navigating disappointment and having to come to an acceptance or a presence of the ability to be present with a disappointment, because I believe that's when we grow the most, when we let go of those white picket fence kind of ideals that we have in our head or that we've formulated on along the way. So my ideal client is someone who is willing to play with and release anything that's no longer working, no longer serving them, no longer supporting them in their own growth and in their own awareness. So someone who in a very difficult circumstance or set of circumstances can lighten up enough to create some shifts, some movements, do the work really is what happens. We get there and do the work and we're able to see the places that change can be created or growth can be achieved or attained. So someone who wants that as much for themselves as I know it's possible for them is an ideal client.
Yeah, what's interesting about you saying that is it's not the person who has the tool set to get there. You're not looking for somebody who already has it figured out. You're looking for somebody who's willing to take that step, willing to let go of the things that's holding them back, that are holding them back, willing to embrace some new possibilities.
Right. Yeah. Someone who's willing to let go of their logical mind shoulds and, you know, it's supposed to be this and I'm not supposed to have to, you know, feel this way. Someone who's willing to begin say, okay, why am I going through this? Or why do I need to go through this feeling? Or what is here in this discomfort that helps me grow, that helps me evolve and become more of who I'm capable of being?
Yeah, I had somebody the other day who said, you know, I just don't know that I'm ready for coaching because I don't know what to do here. And my response was, that's precisely the time to get into coaching because you're willing to do it.
And exactly.
That's a distinguishing feature. If you're ready to make a change, you're ready for coaching. If you're not ready to make a change, there's nothing that's going to help that process.
Mm, yeah. And if you can tolerate that discomfort of not knowing and be able to be in the coaching conversation, that's when it can become the richest.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a matter of stop pretending that you know before you get there.
No doubt.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit. One of the things that I always love to hear from coaches is kind of their wisdom base, because, you know, first your own experience, plus working with people for so long, we have those things that we just know to be true that are our wisdom pool. What are a couple of things that you think that maybe every couple or every person in a relationship should know?
Yeah, there's so much. So if I just start with some basics, I would say that and it kind of goes back to a teacher, Don Miguel Ruiz, the four agreements, you know, I think those are very basic. So take nothing personally. So what the other person is doing is not about you until you respond to it. And if we had that understanding in our relationships, we would be able to like be present as a partner, as a spouse, as a parent, for the other person longer, we would be able to stay curious longer. But when we don't have that understanding, then we start defending and we start reacting and we start trying to prove things to the other person because we're taking something personal that's not personal. Mm-hmm. So that's the fundamental one. If everybody could realize that what the other person is doing is driven by their own doubts, fears, worries, you know, unmet needs, and stop making it a direct offense or a direct assault on you, then we all could hang in there just a little bit longer to truly be able to support each other on the journey rather than throwing each other under the bus endlessly. So that's probably a big one. Yeah. That, you know, the, what the other person is doing is not about you, and what you do is all about you. That's the big, big one. And the other one is that life is going to find a way to get through to you. So one way or another, if we don't learn the lesson, you know, the message becomes harder, the experience gets harder. So it's wise to slow down and, you know, take the learning before it becomes a kick upside the head or a huge disappointment that can't be recovered. And I think that is possible if we are willing to slow down, if we are willing to, like we just discussed, be willing to not be the expert and not believe that the way we say these things is the right way or the only way. So life is always inviting us and will continue to knock louder and louder and louder. It's inviting us into a bigger, better version of ourselves. And the earlier we can get the lessons or, you know, move into that best, wisest, more conscious, more compassionate version of ourselves, the better for us and for all others in our lives as well. But life has a way of pulling the rug out from underneath of us if we're not paying attention. And sometimes that is, you know, financial. Sometimes that's about our relationships. Sometimes that's, you know, a big conversation that we can't really understand at how we created it.
Mm, yeah. And you know, I've heard this response from people when I said, well, don't take that personally. And their response is, how else do you want me to take it? And you know, it is something that feels like it's direct. And the interesting thing is, I asked them, have you ever done something that somebody else was hurt by that you didn't really mean to hurt them? And step into those shoes, because you might have been doing it from your own place of pain, your own place of reactivity. You didn't really mean to hurt them, but it hurt their feelings. And so now you back out of that. And so what is it? If it's not personal, it's about the other person. You know, the other person is stuck in their own pain, their own place where they haven't learned the lesson yet either.
Yes. And, you know, it's by nature very much part of being human that our ego makes us believe, leads us to believe that everything is about us, right?
Right.
Everything the other person does is about us. So that is a, you know, a pivotal piece that I always bring to coaching and help people practice and then master, right? To untangle that which is not, doesn't belong to you and belongs to someone else, to let it be about someone else without making it about yourself. And that's something I learned the hard way.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. We all do. Which
I think that it does help to have a coach and have someone saying you're taking that personally and it's not even about you.
Right.
And we have to say it many times, many, many times. That's not about you.
And I notice how those two fit together, because if you keep making it about you, you know, the lesson keeps coming around until you finally learn it's not yes. about you. Life tends to keep giving us a second chance to learn the lesson we missed the first time.
Yeah, and we miss the opportunity really to offer the kind of love that we say that we hold for the other person. When we're making it about us, we're only loving ourselves. We're not loving anybody else. So we miss that opportunity to demonstrate the love that we profess to hold for another when we let ourselves get hijacked believing that, you know, what they're doing or saying is a direct attempt to harm or hurt us. Mm.
Yeah, and which really is that place where I think a lot of times people say, well, you know, I'm not ready for coaching now. And I think that most coaches are clear enough that that's okay. The time, you know, there's another opportunity for that. The real question is for that person to say, how long am I willing to keep going through the same pattern? How long am I willing to stay in the pain? How long am I willing to wait to learn, to wait to be, as you said, my bigger and better self? And that's the real question we have.
On an ongoing basis.
On an ongoing basis for all of us. And coaching is a wonderful outside way to do that. And Barbara, you're a great resource to that. So I'm wondering if somebody's been listening to this and says, you know, what Barbara just said really resonates with me, and I'm tired of playing that same pattern. I need something different. I'm ready. I'm willing to take that journey. What's the best way of contacting you to talk a little bit about that?
That would be through email. Simply send a message my way at Barbara@SaveTheMarriage.com. And that would be the way that we begin that conversation and talk about what's possible.
That's a great beginning point. If this has resonated with you and you're thinking, you know, I really am ready. I've gone through this too many times. I keep taking things personally. I keep having the same lesson, the same rug pulled over and over. And if it's about the relationship that's going on now, I'm ready to see what's possible. Barbara's a great resource. She's a wealth of knowledge, and I know it because she's been a part of my team, and I really, not just my team, but of other people's experience. For as long as I've had a team, she's been on it, and she was working before that. And so if that's something that resonates with you, please drop Barbara a line at Barbara@SaveTheMarriage.com. Barbara, thank you so much for being here and for sharing.
My pleasure. I hope you have a wonderful remainder of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.